Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back to the Extra Hour. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me in the Extra Hour is Pat.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Listen, we were just talking about, my goodness, do you remember when you were calling all the shots? Do you remember when you was the man?
I remember when I thought I was calling the shots.
Isn't it?
I was very deceived.
Wasn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. When we think we're calling all the shots, that's a dangerous place to be.
Oh,
because
yeah.
We realize that hopefully we realize that we're not in charge of anything.
Mm-mm.
You know, life is so fragile, and oftentimes I wonder how do some become so bold, and I don't know. I'm just like, we need God. You know, in a constant state of needing God and needing Him to move and to speak and to do. And if God, you don't come, and if your presence is not here, and if you don't answer, and if you don't, we don't have anything.
Mm-mm.
And you're looking at a country right now that's just like, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. You know, no thought to God is like, you know how fragile life is?
Mm-hmm.
That people, you know, experience in their life. I think it's like every 15 minutes somebody passes away from a disabling injury.
Wow.
Every 15 minutes, I believe that's the number. And I think like something like every 1.4, 1.5 seconds, someone has a disabling injury in this country. Anything could happen at any moment.
That's right.
And it's not for us to live in fear, but it's certainly for us not to live in pride. It's for us to come to a place, especially as believers, to say, my goodness, God, I'm just not going to honor you with my lips, but I'm going to honor you with my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually going to do what you say to do. You know, there is a big difference between, you know, obedience and submission.
That's right.
You know, obedience means you just did it.
Right.
You just did whatever it was. But it doesn't mean that you were submitted in your heart when you did it.
Mm.
And God's not looking for us to, you know, do behavior modification and just, you know, sit down because He said to sit down, if you will.
Right.
He wants us to be able to do things out of a pleasing nature because we're submitted, we're under His cover, we're under His protection.
Mm-hmm.
He has our heart.
Right.
So our motive is not just to do an action here, if you will. Our motive is to please the Lord and to follow Him in all of His ways.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking before at the beginning of at the end of the first hour, rather, that, you know, there's a big difference between those that follow God. I'm not saying if you're a Christian, if you follow God. Today, everyone calls themselves a Christian. You know, say we want to be godly people, those that follow Him. You know, a disciple is a follower of Jesus.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's a big difference with those that follow God and those that don't. And we talked about how King Saul, 1 Samuel 25:26.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about King Saul. I mean, he started well in his life. You know, he started well, you know, sought God. But there was a transition where he left God and started doing his own thing. He stopped following God.
Right.
And we're talking about God's GPS and God's positioning system. He wants to get you to a certain place. But you have to, you know, work with God, if you will. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You got to work with Him.
Yeah.
Oftentimes He gets blamed. Oh, God, why I couldn't have this or I couldn't have that or why didn't I? I tried to get you there. I tried to bless you,
mm-hmm.
but you couldn't stand to be blessed. I mean, I wanted to do what pleasing father, what does not want to bless their children with everything that, you know, maybe they want or need,
mm-hmm.
you know. But we have to be at a place where we don't get lost in the blessing. And oftentimes, you know, it's God's mercy that we didn't enter into a particular blessing because God, the God who knows everything, who sees mm-hmm. yesterday, today, and tomorrow all at the same time, the God who knit you in your mother's womb,
yeah.
the God who has all of your days already written down and for, you know, predestined for you.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that if you got into that blessing prematurely, He loved you enough to say,
yeah.
Not
yeah.
now.
You're
not now. Remember, God answers yes, no, and not now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like just not now.
Exactly.
And that was a good thing for you. That was a good thing for you, because if you had it and you were brought into it, maybe he would have lost you.
Mm-hmm.
And God desires to have you, and he has greater wisdom than your ability to see just, you know, a few inches in front of your face.
Right.
God sees your whole entire life.
Everything.
And that's the thing, we got to get to that place where you can trust God. You got to be able to trust God now. See, if you can trust God, then you understand that he's the shot caller. You're not the shot caller.
Mm-hmm.
He's the shot caller.
Right.
But you got to believe that God has a plan for you. You got to believe that you being born wasn't a decision of just whatever, but that before the foundations of the earth, God knew you.
Mm-hmm.
That the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you breathe, the way you look, the way you act, your intrinsic qualities, the things that make you you, your personality. Hey, listen, you're one of a kind.
Mm-hmm.
If God did all of that without your help, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And he got you to the point where you're functioning. You think of all the things that happened in your life when you were a child. You weren't in control of that.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody fed you. Somebody clothed you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone gave you a shelter. You had nothing to do with that. But God in his wisdom had made sure that you were taken care of.
That's right.
So what happened in that place where all of a sudden you decided you got to make all the shots?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about those that follow God and allow him to be the shot caller, the one who makes decisions,
mm-hmm.
or the people that follow themselves. You know, and that was the sin of Jeroboam. Jeroboam thought to himself, like, dude, get out of your head and get into the heart of God. Because if you follow yourself, you're going around in circles, or maybe you're going to be going down the wrong path.
That's right.
And if you're on the wrong path, God can always get you on the right path. I mean, he has all kinds of U-turns and yields, and he can get you off the road. I mean, he can get you where he wants you to be.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to tune in, not just with your ears, but you got to tune in with your heart.
Right.
You know, you got to put on that GPS back on and admit that you're lost. See, it's amazing now. You talk to some people now. I was driving around New York. You know, listen, I put that GPS on. You know what I'm saying? one wrong turn, you end up in the wrong place at the wrong time. You're in trouble.
You don't want to miss that exit.
Oh, no. You know, that exit could take you. Forget about it. Forget about it, as they say in Brooklyn. It'll take you, you know, no telling where.
Right.
But you have to be humble, and you have to accept the fact that you don't know where you're going. And if you're lost, you got to say, I'm lost.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just lost. And pride will not allow you to do that.
Mm-mm.
You know, pride will not allow you to admit that you were wrong. Pride will not allow you to admit that you led yourself and your family the wrong way.
Mm.
But I'll tell you that if you embrace humility, you can embrace God and say, God, you know, this is where I'm at. I've been following myself. I've been calling my own shots.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what, God? I want to turn my heart to you. And I want to make you the Lord, and you're the shot caller.
Right.
You're the one that could lead us and guide us and bring us back to where we need to be, myself and my family, whoever that may be.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, it's important. So Saul got out there and started doing his own thing. Saul followed the opinions of the men. You know, but most of all, he followed himself. You know, they start getting scared. He's like, what do you want? Sacrifice now? It's not my job. I'm not supposed to be doing this, but okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not following God, you're open to follow anybody, yourself, the devil, other people, you know, any other strategy but the one you're supposed to be following. And his life, Saul's life, King Saul's life, is one giant example of how your life will turn out if you have not made Jesus really the Lord of your life. If you haven't made God number one, that's what we're talking about. David, it's really the complete opposite. He chose to follow God. You know, when you choose to make Jesus the Lord, you kind of just submit to him,
mm-hmm.
right? And things will just work well for you. Now, although, you know, Saul hunted David down, let's not forget that part, okay?
Mm-hmm.
God would not allow David to fall into Saul's hands. I mean, think about this. Saul was chasing him down, but God didn't allow David to fall into his hands.
Right.
And twice, David had opportunities to take Saul out, and he didn't. But after this last time, you know, David receives a word. You know, David receives a word of wisdom that really opens a new door for him. And the wisdom that came was a thought that if he was to go to the land of the Philistines, Saul will give up looking for him. And he says, otherwise, I'll be destroyed by the hands of Saul. Mm-hmm. So God was working in David's life, and David had this thought, this guy's about to kill me. I need to get up out of Israel.
Right.
And I bet you that if I go over there to the Philistines, he won't even dare look for me over there. In fact, I mean, I had to cut Goliath's head off, so I know he's not going to go over there.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so this key unlocked an area of where David was going to be safe. Mm-hmm. See, when we follow God, God will give us keys. He'll give us strategies. He'll speak to us in his word. He'll speak to us through truth, through circumstances. When our hearts are aligned and submitted to the authorities that God places in our life, that's the protection that God provides to us so that we can have a fruitful and abundant life. So God says, here's a key. Mm-hmm. Here's a key. It's going to open up a place of safety for you. So check this out. David began to live in peace. And mind you, he's been hunted down all this time, but this door opened up a place for him to be in peace.
Right.
He lived safely amongst his enemies. It opened the door for his men to get provisions. They went out there and plundered and did their deal, and now they had provision. Remember, when David started out, all he had was a sword and a piece of bread. He lost his job. He lost his position at the table.
That's right.
He went from hero to zero. David had nothing. Mm. It was by himself. And through this journey, got a couple hundred men following them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And they're building back up again. And God's doing something. And he spared his life. God spared his life. Now, the opposite is what happened to Saul. That when he had to face the Philistines, he was so filled with terror. He was so filled with terror and had no place or no one to turn to. The only place that he went to get help was the witch of Endor.
Right.
He had no place to go. See, that's the whole thing. When you stop following God, when you don't want to listen to what God has to tell you, let me tell you something. After you're done taking your own roads, mm-hmm. after you're done getting lost, after you've done been lied to by the enemy and you suffer the consequences and you've listened to the people who didn't want to tell you the right thing, they just wanted to tickle your ears and tickle your flesh mm-hmm. and tell you what was popular but what was not powerful and true. They just, what was the trend of the day? What's trending on Twitter? They right. wanted to give you the latest trend on Twitter. Once all those folks left you, you're going to have nobody to turn to. Mm. And Saul had a chance to turn to God. He didn't. I mean, no matter where you're at, you can always turn to God. But he didn't turn to God.
Right.
He turned to a witch. Mm. He turned to the witch of Endor. I mean, think about it. Many today are delusional. They're delusional. They think that, you know, we shared a statistic that 94% of Americans have at least one Bible in their home.
Right.
Yet 81%, according to George Barna, don't even read the word. Right. I mean, this is important. I mean, we state this statistic often, but my goodness. We got to get a hold of this. 81% of believers don't read their Bible at all. Only 19% read their Bible. And of the 19, only 3% feel that they are responsible for their own spiritual development. How are we going to follow God? How is he going to be the shot caller in our life if we're not in the Word?
Right.
We got to get to the place of being totally dependent upon him. We got to come to the point that we're going to say, I'm not going to follow Saul, you know, and do my own leading, but I'm going to give my heart 100% to God. God, I'm going to come back from where I've been lost, and I'm going to submit myself to you. I'm just not going to honor you with my lips, but I'm going to honor you with my heart. I'm going to say that you're the Lord, you're the boss, and you're the shot caller. You call all the shots in my life, and what you say, I will do.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know her. She's a supermom, and you just can't measure up. I'm John Fuller, and Jill Savage has some thoughts on today's Focus on the Family Minute about the perils of comparison.
We compare our messy insides, the challenges that we face, the mistakes that we make, the less than ideal marriage that we have, the insecurities that we experience, and we look at other moms and we compare our messy sides to their cleaned up outsides. Now we don't know really what's going on their insides,
right.
But very quickly we size them up and we make a determination that we're either better off than they are or we're less than they are.
We all compare ourselves to others, but that's just not wise. Concentrate instead on being the best mom you can be. Now you'll find encouragement to do just that every day at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com. And follow the prompts.
As a matter of fact, I want to say, too, to those that are on the our Apple applications out there, make sure you go to iTunes and, you know, write a review. There's people, you know, they're going to be coming and they're looking and they're trying to find encouraging words and, you know, what they can, you know, I want something to listen to. I want something to view that's going to encourage me during these times. And, of course, we're getting feedback from all of a lot of our listeners and viewers that, and new people will be coming from around the world. You know, we have all the way from Okinawa to Texas and throughout in Oregon
and Africa.
I mean, it's all around the world and America. And so they'll read your review. So go to iTunes, you know, type in VFN TV, and you'll find the application there. You can download it. But also, once you listen for a while, once you watch, then say, you know what, I'm going to write a review. And so other people, it's a way for you to help win people to the Lord, to encourage them. To tune in to VFN Radio.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat. We're just talking about who's the shot caller. Who's the shot caller in your life? Who's the person that calls all the shots? Is it you? Could it be the enemy? Could it be someone else who has the voice of the enemy? Mm. Or is God the one calling the shots? We want to encourage you. Listen, a simple way how God can be the one that calls the shots. And when we say call the shots, we're saying he's the one that leads us. He's the one that guides us. He's the one that brings us into all truth, right? That happens when we submit ourselves to God. We give him our heart, but that also happens when we take time to abide. Listen, we have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org and request your simple plan today. It's a plan that's going to help you to connect with God, to read his word, and let the light of God's word be a light into your path. How can you follow if you cannot see?
That's right.
And when God shines his light upon your situation, when he shines his light upon your life, you have the opportunity and the choice to say, yes, God, I will follow. I mean, that's where we're supposed to, you know, deny ourselves and take up our cross daily. Every day you have the opportunity to follow him. And I'll tell you that if you follow him any length of time, he's never steered me wrong.
Never steered me wrong.
And he'll steer you always and guide you always in the right place. And with that, you can really have true peace in your life. There's many people today that are anxious. There's many people today that are fearful. Mm. They're fearful of the economy. They're fearful of what's going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years. They're fearful about their current family, you know, situations. I want to tell you that when you follow God, truly follow him, you become his disciple, you don't have to be worried about fear. Listen, you still may not know what tomorrow holds. You're not going to be able to see everything.
Mm-mm.
But one thing we could tell you, you could definitely know the one who holds tomorrow.
Right.
And with that, you should sleep really good.
Oh, yeah.
Because God is trustworthy. Deal with that once and for all. We got to come to a place where we exercise humility and say, here are the keys. Wherever you take me is where I want to be and where I want to go. And when we do that, we experience great peace, great joy. And God wants to prove himself. He wants to prove his love to us. And we realize, wow, God was in control all along. You just thought you were.
Mm-hmm.
Well, watch what happens when you submit to the ways of God. He'll lead you the right way every single time.
That's right.
Well, you know, Pat, in God's news behind the news, CBN is reporting about what is happening in Egypt. Mm. You know, since the Muslim Brotherhood was just taken out of there, they had that revolt. I mean, the Muslim Brotherhood was there, mm-hmm. who our president basically put there when he empowered the Muslim Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
This was a strategy that's occurred over some time, but it resulted in the Muslim Brotherhood taking power in Egypt. Not only did they have power, but they started to exercise that power, obviously not in a good way. And hundreds of thousands of people on the 1-year anniversary of President Morsi, who was a part of the Muslim Brotherhood,
mm-hmm.
of him being president, they were marching in the streets, they protested, and they removed him. They removed him from office and mm-hmm. disempowered the Muslim Brotherhood. But what was interesting, because you haven't heard this before, what was interesting during that time is that they were saying, why is our president, United States president, supporting the Muslim Brotherhood?
Right.
Why is he supporting terrorists? We don't want these folks. We banned them out of Egypt. And look what's happening. Right now, Egypt is trying to find its way. It's still a place of turmoil. It's still a place of unrest.
Mm-hmm.
And CBN is reporting that Egyptian Christians are being dragged and beat in the streets. They say that radical Islamists continue to attack and brutalize Christians in the southern part of Egypt.
Wow.
And this is not good. There is a Barnabas Fund, I believe, out of the UK. And this is what they're reporting and they're sharing. But militant Muslims have kidnapped, they've beat, and they drag these Christians. And all of this is in connection with the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, they even dug up the corpse and dragged. Listen, they dug up the corpse and dragged it through the streets.
Mm.
Again, to terrify. The whole purpose is to terrify local Christians. There's about 20,000 Christians that have already have fled this city. This was going on. They already fled. And many of their churches and their homes and their businesses were destroyed by, of course, the supporters of Mohamed Morsi, which is the Muslim Brotherhood.
Hmm.
Listen, there is a strategy if you are a believer. And if you're a believer in the United States and you're looking at what's happening in the world, you can't have the perspective and say, oh, those poor people in Egypt.
Hmm.
That's coming our way.
Right.
Those are our brothers. Those are our sisters. And we need to stand in the gap and be ones that say, listen, if you've done it to them, you've done it to us. We are one in Jesus Christ. And we're going to pray for the persecuted church. We're going to pray for those that are being tormented for the cause of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to support policies in this nation and get our representatives to do something about, my goodness, what's happening in Iran? I mean, President Saeed is still, it's been over a year, he's an American citizen.
Mm.
I mean, you would think, you know, with one phone call, you can have an American citizen who didn't break, you know, any laws except talk about Jesus
right. In
your country, and you would have him sent over. And this is the thing that gets me, rights for all citizens. If it was a diplomat's child, if it was somebody else's child, you know, would we, or you know, person, a family member, rather, maybe chosen a little different, but let's just say, let's make it equal, okay? Another family member, would there be any other type of treatment? Why are we not getting everything that we need out of this administration to get an innocent man out of prison?
All right.
In a country that we know is hostile to Christians and even to people in their own citizens.
Right.
Listen, this has to stop, and we're going to get a chance to talk about this soon, but we're going to talk about the persecuted church. The church has a long history of being persecuted. You know, back in 68 A.D. and during that period of time, I mean, there was major persecution with Nero. I mean, Nero used to light. This is how horrific. This is how the devil hates your guts. You got to hear this because you're made in the image and the likeness of God, and you can't be deceived to think that that's only going to happen to those people over there in another country. Listen, if we don't turn our hearts, the devil has the same plan for us. Look what happened to the Jews. All 6 million of them that were gassed. I mean, we learned yesterday, if you missed VFN radio, you got to listen. 46,200 concentration camps. 46,200 concentration camps. And where they gassed the Jews, and within 30 minutes of them coming off the train, 30 minutes, they were being gassed. Listen, JJ, Jews and Christians, Jews and Jesus, listen, it's not over. So Nero would take Christians, and he would put them on a cross or some sort of pole in his garden. And he would stick wax in their shirts, wax in their stuff them full with wax. And he would light Christians on fire for the purpose of illuminating his garden. This is how evil, how evil Satan wants to destroy you. And we need to get a proper perspective about this. I believe that it was under Nero that Paul was killed, and Paul went through extreme persecution. There's persecution that's happening all over the world, the persecution that's happening in China. There's a book called The Heavenly Man, the gentleman in there, it's a phenomenal, phenomenal book. My wife, Teresa, read it, and she was sharing with me of all the miraculous things that God brought this man out of, but he was held captive, he was arrested, you know, angels escorted him all over different places, but he was, tortured. We talked about Dmitry Duderman. Dmitry Duderman, I think he was shocked with electricity so many times that his teeth fell out. And for years he had silver teeth or some sort of, you know, not real teeth. I think they were silver teeth. Later on, someone paid to get his teeth replaced. But it's hard. Listen, it needs to be hard for us. If you're an American Christian, it needs to be hard for you to say your name and the word suffering in the same sentence. That should be a hard thing for you to do. When you look at context of history, when you look at those today, those that have gone way before us who have suffered for the cause of Christ, and let me tell you, one day we're all going to have to give an account. I don't want us to be sitting there, Pat, next to Paul one day, you know, at a table, we're kicking back. And Paul's talking about all he endured for Christ and the pleasure it was to do so. And I don't want to be talking about complaining about air conditioning. I don't want to be up there trying to talk about, you know, the inconvenience of whatever, you name it, in America. And we didn't get a chance to suffer. Listen, it's your joy if you have the joy to suffer for the cause of Christ, not for suffering for something foolish that you've done. But for the cause of Christ. But this is a major, major thing that happened. And during that time, by the way, about 70 AD, also when Nero passed away, Vespasian was the Roman emperor at the time, and Jerusalem was coming down. I mean, the Jews, they were revolting, they were fighting. And, you know, we're just learning a little bit about church history and what has happened. We're hoping to bring this to you in a fuller context, to kind of give you perspective and to share with you, you know, how far this goes back. But the Romans were taking the Jews out, and they were finally saying, that's it. They're fighting back, and Jerusalem came down, and the temple was destroyed. Mm-hmm. And that was one of significant turning points, because at that point, Christianity was kind of like an offshoot of Judaism, but the church started to spread under great persecution and started to grow. And listen, if this is what it takes, I don't want to have to suffer. I'm not the one signing up for it, you know what I mean? But if we have to suffer, if we have to suffer so that those that don't know him can come into the kingdom, my goodness, what great honor. When you look at Wycliffe, when you look at Tyndale, and those that suffered and went through extreme, I mean, they dug them out of the grave and burned their bodies. They choked them, wrapped their hands. Satan used someone's hand, because they need a host. Satan used someone's hands to choke one of these men out. Wow. Because the word of God went forth. And let me tell you something. We need to stand. Mm-hmm. We need to stand. There's ever was a time for you to stand. Let me tell you, it is today. Things are changing. Things are turning, and it's time for us as believers not just to look at what's happening at other people and saying, oh, you know, that's what's happening in a foreign and a distant land. Mm-hmm. It's for us to say, no, listen, starts with me. I'm going to commit to praying for the persecuted church. I'm going to commit to praying for those that have been taken advantage. I'm going to pray for those that are least in my society, and I'm going to pray that if I ever have to face persecution,
right.
If I have to face persecution, that I can stand in the face of it. I think about the Columbine, when those young girl, I forget her name, but when she was asked, you know, are you a Christian?
Right.
She said, yes.
Yeah.
And one of the boys shot her dead. You know, if you're asked, are you a Christian? Because you don't want to be ridiculed at a workplace. You don't want to be left out. It's not politically correct. Don't say no. Don't deny Jesus. Listen, if you can suffer a little ridicule around the water cooler at work, a little ridicule at your job because you wear a cross, a little ridicule because you say that you're a Christian, because you pray for your food, that is nothing. That is nothing compared to all of those that have gone before you, those that have been tortured in their bodies. And if we could suffer just a little, listen, you don't get any points for suffering. You're not earning anything here. But my goodness, we have to have perspective for ourselves. We have to have context to say, God, I'm not going to turn back. I'm not going to shrink back. If I lose everything, I am going to stand with you all the way to the end, Jesus, because you not only have stood for me, but you have died for me.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
God, the creator of the universe, loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to walk with you and make his heart known to you. He wants to forgive you of where you failed and you made mistakes, where things came to an end and you think there's no hope. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. That God is wanting you to meet him. He's not far from you, but he had to make a way for you to get to him. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you've got to meet Father God. Jesus came for one reason. He came for this reason all, to make the Father known. That's our ministry to you. We want to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. We shared a couple of our stories. We didn't share everything, but you know, the ones that we did share, we're just trying to tell you that we're just like you, you know, and maybe worse, you know, that we needed God, you know, that I was going the way of the world. I was lost. I looked for love in all the wrong places. I ended up on a dead end street, all those different things that, you know, you go through in your life. You run after, you know, wealth and things and geographical locations and people and all that. And it just ends with the same, probably worse, because now you have all these things that you went to that just left you high and dry and ashamed and all that. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He's made a way that he can forgive you, cleanse you, and all of those wrongs and all that sin, he can totally take that away from you through his son, Jesus Christ. You got to meet him. Listen, he wants to know you. Are you ready to know him? You've got to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Oh my goodness. John, have you been listening to the daily VFN radio program?
You know I have.
Oh, man. Such good content. Hey, are you on Facebook?
Of course.
Wow. You've got to check out the VFN TV page on Facebook.com. And if you haven't, you check it out. You can go on Facebook.com/VFN TV. You know, when you're listening to the radio program and you're listening to a segment that's just, you know, speaking to you, and you know that, you know, there's friends that's really going to encourage them, you can click share. And those friends who are all your friends who you're connected with on Facebook, they'll immediately get what you share.
Wow, that's awesome. It's a great way to continue to spread the word, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. Check it out. Facebook.com/VFN TV.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat. We were just talking about the persecuted church and what was happening in Egypt right now. Christians are being beat, they're being dragged through the streets, their corpses are being dug out of the ground, and they're being dragged across the streets to torment the other Christians in the area. And 20,000 of the Christians living in Dalga, city of Dalga in Egypt, they've already fled. This persecution is happening in Syria, where over 100,000 people have been killed during this civil war. You know, it's happening everywhere. It's happening everywhere. And listen, you want to stand. You don't want to be an American Christian, if you will, and you don't want to be one that is afraid to suffer.
Right.
Is afraid to suffer and say, oh my goodness, I didn't have cold water. I didn't have whatever. It's embarrassing. Right. Commit today and say you're not going to use your name and the word suffering in a sentence ever. You know what I mean? I don't want, listen, I'm trying to avoid for myself and maybe for any of you who are listening today, any embarrassment when we sit before, the Lord, let's just say Paul, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And Paul's talking about the pleasure it was to offer his body as a living sacrifice. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This is what it is. It's to deny ourselves so that Jesus Christ can be glorified. You don't get any points for suffering. You're not earning anything with the Lord. But listen, the Word of God tells us that if we live godly lives, there you will suffer. You will go through stuff. Mm-hmm. It's the suffering is not a sign that you did something bad. Maybe it's just a sign of that you're doing something good.
Right.
So you just kind of continue to stay and stand, and God will pull you through it. And you can be like Paul to say, I want to know you. Mm-hmm. I want to know you in the fellowship of your suffering. And it's another perspective on just knowing the heart of God. And also, we're going to make this related for you on the torch, but you got to listen to yesterday's program. The title of yesterday's segment that really relates to this, and we talked about the Holocaust, is It's Not Surreal, Sir. It's Real. Don't let your senses fool you. 46,200 concentration camps and ghettos during the Holocaust. You know, Greg and I had a chance to go to the Holocaust Museum in Manhattan. Beautiful building. I mean, when you finish the going through it, which is very emotional, it ends in this room upstairs that has windows that overlooks the Hudson, and you look directly at the Statue of Liberty. It's just, it's just it's therapeutic, if you will, because you're just going through this emotional thing the whole way, and then you're coming into this awesome light and. Mm-hmm. You know, looking at it, but when we were going through the tour and looking at the pictures and reading and looking at some of the things that they had in this museum, one of the information they read there that the reason why some of the Jews didn't leave prior to was because they didn't want to leave their stuff.
Oh, wow.
They didn't want to leave their things and their stuff. And they said, no, it's, you know, it's going to work out and what have you. And it didn't. Mm-hmm. And if you missed, you know, the extra hour, we're talking about who's the shot caller in your life. I mean, if God's calling you the shots, you're going to follow the Lord. And so if you follow the Lord, he'll lead you and guide you out of certain situations, mm-hmm. you know, but maybe they were following some of them were following themselves, but some of them stated that they didn't want to follow. I mean, they didn't want to leave because they didn't want to leave their things.
Right.
And so, listen, don't let your things, the things that God's blessed you, you know, be an entrapment towards you. Mm-hmm. You know, listen, it's just some stuff. It can be replaced.
Yeah, really.
But live your life for the things that are, you know, eternal. You know, things that are internal and eternal. God, live for those things. And at the very end, you'll have a life that was worth living. And the Word of God says, live a life worthy of the calling that you received. You have a call to know Jesus.
Right.
And if you live that life worthy, you give him 100% of your life. Let me tell you something. You're going to enjoy the life to come.
Mm.
You know, you can, it's all about, you know, let's try to minimize the regrets. You know what I'm saying? Avoid tomorrow's regrets today by saying today, we choose to follow the Lord.
Right.
Today, we choose to make him the Lord, the boss of our lives. Mm. Today, God, it doesn't matter what's happening in society, what's the latest whatever, what's trending. What matters only to me, Jesus, is that you're trending on my heart, that your passion, God, for souls, Jesus, that your passion for the church, that your passion for what's, you know, happening today, for the unborn, that's what matters to me.
Mm.
And when you start carrying the things that matter to God on your heart and they become yours, you're going to see God moving in just greater dimension in your life. And
mm-hmm.
your life will be redeemed. You'll have greater perspective on living because you're living not just for a vacation to go to see some mouse or something. You're not living for the next movie that's coming out. Mm-hmm. You're not living for the insignificant game. And sure, there's, you know, things that we can do with family. We just can't lose sight. That's what mm-hmm. I'm saying. We can't lose sight of what the main thing.
Right.
Let the main thing be the main thing. Jesus Christ and him glorified.
Right.
And I love what the Moravians said as they were being sold, Pat, sold into slavery.
Intentionally.
Sold themselves because the slave owner didn't even want to pay for them to come out there. They wanted to pay for them. And they found that there was a couple of hundred slaves on this landowner's property that could never get off.
Mm-hmm.
And the landowner said that nobody would ever land on this property and preach them, you know, they'll never hear the gospel or mm-hmm. hear God's word. And they had got wind of it. And these two Moravian teenage young men who had families intentionally sold themselves into slavery, knowing that they would never, ever leave this man's property just for the chance, just for the chance to share Jesus with slaves.
Wow.
That action birthed what is known as the Moravian, you know, missionary movement, really. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, those two young men, they've paid that price. And as the ship was leaving port and the families were crying and waving and they were looking at them, the young men, their image was getting, you know, smaller and smaller mm-hmm. and faint. One of them rose up, as the story goes, and got at the edge of the boat and raised his hand and said, may the Lamb of God receive the reward of his suffering.
Mm-hmm.
May the Lamb of God receive the reward of his suffering. Listen, you're not suffering. Jesus suffered. And we can endure and pray for those intently and passionately that are laying it all down for Jesus Christ. Mm. I'm telling you, these are exciting, exciting days to live. And we just don't want to miss it because we got caught up in what the latest, whatever. Mm. It's like, there's going to be a lot of regrets later. But we can avoid those today. You know, I want to share with you about David. We were talking about David before in the extra hour. And we're talking about King Saul and David. and some of the things that they went through in their life, and what we were sharing, what we were sharing about was who they follow. You know, King Saul was following himself, and David was following God, and the result of what happened, you know, in both of their lives. And as I've been reading about David's, you know, account, you know, his life story, if you will, not an autobiography, but maybe a biography, about his life, he came to a point that David experienced a little issue there at Ziklag. And Ziklag is an interesting place. It's an interesting thing that occurred. You know, one thing that we must know as a believer is that you're in a spiritual battle. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know that, there is a battle for your heart.
Right.
It was waged before you even became aware of it. And once you give your life to Jesus, the battle rages on, because now the enemy realizes he doesn't have you anymore, and that he wants to stop you from making Jesus known. Devil just simply hates your guts. And, you know, of course, why? You're made in the image and likeness of God, and you're going to tell people the truth. But if you're on the front lines of doing something for God, you're also a target for the enemy.
Right.
I mean, he wants to stop all forward advancement. He wants to take you out. And David and his men, you know, at this time, they were out to war with the Philistines. I mean, think about it. He chopped the heads off of one of the Philistines, and now he is joining with them in war as the Philistines are getting ready to face Israel and Saul. And one of the commanders basically was a little leery of David and tells the king of the Philistines, I think his name is Achish or something like that. He comes up to him and says, listen, dude, you got this guy David back here in the group here with a few of his men. Have you checked this guy out? I mean, this is David. Remember him? Cut off Goliath and stuff. This guy can turn on us in the middle of this war. Send him away. The guys don't feel comfortable about this. Send him away. And so the king brings David in and says, listen, you know, we're cool and everything, but you're going to have to go. You know, we don't need your services right now. And when we come back from break, we're going to talk about what happened at Ziklag and how David responded to one of the most severe attacks that he ever faced. Listen, it's not permanent. You're just going through something. God has a plan, and he'll bring you out, and you can survive what you're going through. But you can only survive it with God.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Well, I hear...
Wow.
I hear... Yes. That Chris has another member of the family. Did you hear about this?
No.
Yes.
No, I haven't.
Yes.
Please, would you enlighten me? Is this breaking
news? He's only
news?
6 weeks old. Can you believe this?
No.
Chris, tell us about this new addition to the family.
Well, it appears. Well, we got a new member of the family, yes, 6 weeks old, and we got a puppy.
Oh, a puppy. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Now it's haven't a... we tried this
Well, before? Okay, so, yeah. The last dog was like 150 pounds, which didn't work out right, so we downgraded to 2 pounds.
Oh, this is good. So, this is good.
Well, you know, I really did it for my daughter, Emma. You know, she had been wanting a puppy, and you know, God just really started doing an amazing work in her life.
Like that.
What? Yes, they did.
Don't we all get suckered in like that.
Yeah, and you know, back during Christmas time, she was wanting a dog. You know, and you know, we had a long talk about responsibilities and things of that nature, she started. You know, we talked about it the other day, but just really started abiding with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she got back into it. You know, she had kind of been in an off and on thing.
Mm-hmm.
But God just really began to speak to her and work in her life, and she started just doing things around the house without it having to be told, you know. And it's just been amazing to see the growth that's taken place in her life over mm-hmm. the last, you know, couple of months. And so, you know,
you're rewarding her.
So I rewarded her.
There you go.
And she was looked constantly for a pug. And, you know, these things are not cheap. These, mm-hmm. you know, there's one particular store was selling them for like $4,000. I'm like,
what?
Yeah, it's crazy.
For a pug?
$4,000 yeah. for a dog.
It's crazy. Oh, but you get 2 days of training. And it's like, no, that's not going to happen.
Ain't happening.
Well, there was a God deal that No, there was a God deal that came along, mm-hmm. and so we immediately jumped on it and mm-hmm. went and
so it was only what, like a 2,000?
nowhere near
not
that.
Even close, huh?
Pocket change compared to that.
Very good. That well, congratulations.
Awesome. Yes. Yeah, she is very happy. She is very excited.
Congratulations.
And she's still helping out around the house. She hasn't stopped. She says, I'm going to show you. I'm
That's
not
the test.
Stop.
That's the test. Yeah. Will they continue?
Yeah.
Once they've been rewarded, will they continue to follow?
Yeah.
Nothing like a dog to help children with responsibilities and chores.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
If it goes in the house now, we're going to have problems.
Right. But I'm very proud of her and what she's doing. So.
That's awesome. That's a poet. Dog trainer, yep. I tell you, she's a jack of all dog lover, jack of all trades.
Oh, I know, right?
Yep.
Amazing.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramosen. Joining me back on the break is Pat. And we're just talking about David, and we're talking about Ziklag, and we're talking about how the enemy wages battles and attacks on you if you're a believer. He wants to stop you and stop the forward advancement of the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And you're not his friend. You've abandoned him. If you've accepted Jesus in your heart, see, the idea is that you leave Satan. You don't follow him. You don't right. follow his works. You don't listen to his suggestions. You no longer live in darkness. So you live in the light. Mm-hmm. And so with the devil now, see, he doesn't want you to advance the light. And he wants to lure you away from the light and bring you back to darkness. He wants to make you a traitor of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so he tries to attack you and do all kind of different things to you. We're talking about how in the life of David, you know, here David is experiencing some reprieve from being hunted down from Saul, and he left with a sword and a little piece of bread, and now he's got a couple hundred men, and he's got mm-hmm. plunder, and, right. and you know, he's gone through some stuff. So the king sends him back. He's like, look, dude, you're going to have to leave because these guys don't trust you right now. We're about to be in a war. And David's like, hey, that's cool. You know, so David goes back with his men to Ziklag. They were camped in Ziklag. Mm-hmm. And when they get there, they realize something is really wrong. When they get there, they find out that their camp is on fire.
Oh, wow.
Their camp's on fire. All their stuff is gone. And their wife and their children have been taken captive. And I was thinking about that. I'm thinking, how do we know they were taken captive and all this type of stuff? Mm-hmm. You realize, I mean, imagine that devastation. I mean, they're the flames are still, you know, smoldering, if you will. You've got smoke still simmering on whatever was burnt up, and they're mm-hmm. looking through it, and they're saying, oh my goodness, did they kill them? Did they burn them? And they don't see any bodies, you know. Say, well, they must have took them. They looked at, what about our stuff? And man, they took our stuff too. This is just the housing, and just, they took everything. They plundered us. Mm-hmm. And you can imagine how hurt, vulnerable, devastating they were. I mean, of all times, I mean, here David is like, I just got back on my feet. You know what I'm saying? I was just doing good. And they're going through some major stuff. And David and his men, I mean, they were just devastated. One of the things that we can pull away real quick is that, listen, the enemy can strike you when you least expect it. Mm-hmm. You got to remain low. You got to remain humble. You know what I'm saying? I heard someone say, you need to deal with the devil the same way an electrician deals with electricity. Mm-hmm. He doesn't fear electricity, but he knows how to handle electricity.
All right.
Because if you mishandle it, you're going to get zapped.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you,
it could cost you your life.
Hey, if you're walking in pride, you're going to get zapped. You got to stay low. So you got to understand that the enemy can strike you when you least expect it. You know, it's very possible that you're going to go through a severe attack. You know what I'm saying? That when the enemy gets close enough, he can actually get close enough to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
He can get close enough to hurt you. And it was a time for David where he experienced excessive pain and personal loss. I mean, he had to work through the rejection of Saul. He had to work through going from hero to zero, losing his income. He had to go through had no safe place to living a nomadic life on the run. I mean, it's like, oh my goodness. He finally gets a provision, finally gets a place of safety, finally gets a couple of men around him. You know, God even gives him another wife, a nice wife, Abigail. I mean, he's got favor now with the Philistines, only to come to the place of Ziklag, where he suffers a devastating attack that would really stop most people. Because, you know, once you've come out of something and you're on the upswing, the pendulum swung up, and you get hit in the gut, you know, a lot of people just quit.
Yeah.
A lot of people just say, that's it. I tried it. I was going to do it. Mm-hmm. I was just back on my feet. I was just going after God. I was just, you know, decided I'm going to make him the Lord of my life. And then this happens.
Mm-hmm.
You don't quit.
Right.
You don't stop. You were going down before. You had nothing before. You don't stop just because the enemy punched you in the stomach. He sucker punched you. You don't quit. So he comes to the place of Ziklag where he suffers his devastating loss. His camp was burned. And all these men, the Bible says that David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. Mm. You ever cried like that? We have nothing. No more tears can come out.
Wow.
The men even decided they were going to try to hurl stones at him. But David, in his pain, inquires of the Lord. Let me tell you something, that you have two choices in life when you get hit with an attack on your provision, when you get a hit with an attack on your family, when you get a hit, an attack on your children and maybe in your health, and the enemy has tried to strike you. Let me tell you something. You go to the enemy's camp and you take back what the devil stole from you. You don't stay down, but you don't go in pride.
Mm.
You inquire in humility of the Lord. Let me tell you, you have two options. You can stay defeated and accept your devastation as the new normal, or you can humble yourself, call out for the ephod, you know, humble yourself and call out to God and follow him, and he'll give you victory. He'll bring you out of it, but he'll bring you out of it if you trust him. He'll bring you out of it if you fully, you know, rely on him. You do it in humility and you seek God, and he'll help you to take back what the enemy stole from you.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.